Blog Talk Radio.
Back when I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. How I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Ooh. When I and my mother would disagree, to get my way I would run from her to him. He'd make me laugh just to comfort me, yeah, yeah. Then finally make me do just what my mama said. Later that night when I was asleep, he left a dollar under my sheet. Never dreamed that he would be gone from me. If I could steal one final glance, one final step, one final dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. 'Cause I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Sometimes I'd listen outside her door, and I'd hear how my mother cried for him. I'd pray for her even more than me. I'd pray for her even more than me.
That's Luther Vandross, Dance for My Father, or Dance with My Father. I'm quite sure you guys know the name of the song. This is delicious. I'm sorry. Well, let me say this first of all. I'm not at home, so I'm not on my my own computer, so I cannot type in the chat room because I don't know what difficulties is going on with this computer that I'm at. So I apologize for that. Hi, Miss Kane, darling. And this is Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. Tonight's show is fatherhood. And the show is dedicated to all the fathers, the sperm donors, the baby's daddies, and, you know, guys who are in fatherhood. I want to say that this show is not bashing men, or we don't have anything against men. It's just a topic for tonight. And then, you know, Sunday is Father's Day, so that was another reason why I'm having this show. If you have any stories you'd like to talk about your dad, or if you're a father and like to talk about your kids, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. The number is 646-652-2877. And getting the show going, I have a little story I like to offer up about my dad. He's been dead for at least 40 years now, because I was pregnant with my son when he was hit and killed in front of the house that my that we lived in back in 1970, I think it was 1971, something like that. My father was an alcoholic, but he was a functioning alcoholic, and he was the sole provider of five children at one point. He was a really good man. He was comical. He played the piano. He was in the Korean War, one of those wars. But I miss him dearly. You know, when he was killed, like I said, in front of the house, he was run over by a couple of cars, and he died. He was like in his, I think he was like in his 40s or something like that. But he was a good guy, and like I said, he was an alcoholic, a functioning alcoholic. He went to work every day. I cannot remember a day that my dad didn't go to work. And now he's no longer here, but I learned a lot from my dad, and I truly loved him, and he's still missed. I see my co-host on the line, so I'm going to bring her in. Rhea?
Hi, how are you?
I am fantastic, darling. I was explaining to everybody before I started the show that I'm not at home. I'm doing the show from a friend of mine's house, and their computer won't let me chat in the chat room. So, you know, I apologize to anybody who's chatting. Miss Kane says she's going to hold a chat down for me. All right, darling. Don't forget to call in, too.
I well,
appreciate
I
that. Miss Kane is something. You just walked in the door? Oh, my goodness.
It took me 3 hours and 47 minutes to get a bus to the stop where I walk home.
3 hours? What was going on?
I don't know. And I just realized, cause the news just came on. I mean, literally, I haven't even taken my clothes off yet. I just walked in the door. And I'm wondering, did it have something to do with Obama arriving tonight?
Oh, okay. Well, that answers the question.
Yeah. But usually it doesn't take, I mean, it takes a little longer, but it takes a little longer in traffic, not for the actual physical buses to come.
Right.
And so it was like, okay, here we go.
Wow.
I was thinking my man about going to the show tomorrow. I think I'll just stay in, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just putting a little story out there about my dad, you know, because he's been dead for 40 years. Oh. And, you know, explaining that he was a functioning alcoholic, but he also was a very hard worker. As long as I've known him to work, he's never missed a day, you know, of going to work. One time we had a snow blizzard, and he had gotten to work before it had gotten really, really, really bad, and they sent him home because they, you know, was closing the store that he worked in. And the ironic thing about it, my dad worked in a liquor store.
Okay.
But I think he began his drinking long before he worked in a liquor store, because he worked at one point he worked in the government, you know, so, but you know, like I had mentioned, he was a functioning alcoholic, but that didn't take anything away from him being a good dad. You know, it's just that he had his issues as far as, like, when he got out of the service and, you know, I just guess he resorted to drinking. But he did provide for, you know, all the children. My two oldest sisters was not, you know, my mom was married twice. They weren't his children, but he, you know, he did take care of them. And they, you know, called him dad. So we was, you know, a family at that particular time. I think it was like five of us. Okay. All together, my mom had eight children. But, you know, I do remember him being a hard worker, you know, went to work every day, rain, sleet, snow, hail, whatever. He was at the, and you know, I've never seen my father drive a car. Never, never. He's either caught the bus or cab. Never have I seen him drive. Never. So, you know, I don't know if he couldn't or it just didn't interest him or what, but, you know, that's the story of my dad. So, do you have any stories about your dad or grandfather or, you know, or...
Well, the only male in my, I really don't have any stories about my mother's husband, but because that there's no kinship, no connection whatsoever there. That was one. That is one of the most trifling males I've ever seen in my entire life. But my grandfather.
Is he your father or?
Yeah, he's our father. But he there's no connection there. He was never fatherly, deadly, or any of that toward any of us. And as we got older, my mom, they had nine children, two preceded her in death, and there are seven living, and none of them have anything to do with him. Once she died, that was the end of my obligation anyway, because I had to be around him in order to be around her. But once the bear turned 2007, I was done. But he's close with one of my children. The other three have nothing to do with him. I have four children, well, four offspring. One of them, he still has a relationship. The other three, he doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I end up learning about him and knowing what's going on with him because that the one son of mine that has a relationship with him is also his legal next of kin.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime something comes up, my son comes to me and asks me questions. And mm-hmm. I will answer his questions to the best of my knowledge. But my grandfather was one of them traditional men. When I say traditional, old-fashioned, old-time, whatever you want to call it, he worked two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
He came home and gave his check to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He, outside of work, he was at home or around the house with the family. He didn't hang out much with friends. And if they did, they did it like right there at one of their houses to watch a game or rather it. I don't think he went. He may hunt. He may have hunted, but I'm not sure. I don't think he fished or anything like that. They lived in South Haven, Michigan, majority of my life. And outside of him, I'm really experiencing that first relationship between a male and his offspring through my son. And I'm getting a chance to see that firsthand through my son. And it's interesting. It's interesting to watch. It's interesting to see. You know, like I said, in our family, we never experienced it. And because my grandfather was not here with us, we didn't see him on a regular basis. So we didn't, I don't really know a lot in that area except what I saw from him. And then I had a girlfriend, she died at 42 from cancer. The month before my mom died, her father was, I got a chance to see them. And it was amazing to me. It was through her father and her relationship that I realized that I did actually have a hole in my life. That was an important part of, I guess, my development that was missing, and I didn't know that then. And as it's going, it won't be missing with my granddaughter.
Wow. Well, we have a caller on the line. I'm going to bring them in. Good evening, Miss Kane. Is that you?
It's great. I'm just leaving Kane. She's been being a
holiday. Miss Kane went out there, huh?
She gone.
Oh, my goodness, where'd she go?
And she stole my wheelchair. And she got the phone with the police. They looking for that bitch.
Wow.
How y'all doing, though?
Just fine. How are you?
Oh, we have sipping, honey. So if I sound a little slur, don't say never.
Yes, ma'am.
Have mercy.
Let me give a shout out to Know Your Enemy. Know Your Enemy, I can't get into the chat room tonight, so Miss Kane is holding it down for me, darling. And thanks for stopping by. Okay, Granny, no, Miss Kane, Granny must have left.
Granny, she gone.
Oh, okay.
Did you get her wig
you got
back?
Any stories? Huh?
Did you get her wig back?
Her
wheelchair.
Nah, she stole my wheelchair and my freakum dress. She know I was supposed to be going next door tonight. She know I was.
Well, you got any stories, Granny, about your daddy or any sperm donors or what's up?
Well, I don't know. I had a good relationship with my dad died when I was 6, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I did kind of watch him die. But at that time, being that young, you basically don't know, like, what's really going on or whatever. But I feel like I handled it well. My biggest issue is my daddy did my hair. He used to walk me to school. He took care of me. I used to sleep in the bed with him till he, you know, messed around and farted one time. I couldn't go back in there. He liked to kill me. I was spotted when I was little, honey. You think I talk trash now? I was talking trash then. I said, he stank. I said, you want to go to bed with that? You stank. I remember, you like to pat me dead and I said, no, I can't go back with you. No. But I don't know. I mean, it really bothers me about like dudes these days not knowing how to be good fathers and role models to their sons or their daughters and stuff. But I had that, and can't nobody tell me that a man can't do a job just as good as a woman, or if not better, because I was one that grew up without my mother in my life. So I mean, that's kind of like a big difference from growing up without having your father in your life. But I don't know. I mean, my relationship with my dad, it was wonderful, you know what I'm saying, until he died. I mean, I didn't get but 2 ass whoopers from him. He couldn't whoop me no more, honey. First time I pee-pee, second time I boo-boo. Uh-uh, that man crazy. He say something, I be in compliance, honey. My grandmama, she might have had to whoop my tail, but my daddy say so. Oh, I'm finna get ghost. Yes, I'm finna go somewhere, because I know he wasn't playing. But, like I said, you just got fathers nowadays, they don't know how to be what they need to be. You got some dudes, it just depends on, I guess you could say, their upbringing. Because, like, my daughter, father, and my son, sperm donor, and yes, I said sperm donor, it's a difference. And both of these dudes are from two-parent households. Their parents are still together. But my son, sperm donor, this, I don't know what's wrong with him, and he's pushing the 40 mark. I mean, you work at a job where you don't get paid nothing. You see what I'm saying? All because you're trying to be slick and not have to pay that much in child support. Then on top of that, you know what I'm saying? Like, the dude had me tracked down, y'all. Had me tracked down. I had went away for about a year, and I had my son. he had me subpoenaed to come to court. Talking about, she keeping my child away from me. Well, hell, you ain't doing what you're supposed to do anyway. And he the one who came up with the little thing in court about he wanted to have his son every other weekend and then all of the summer, and then they made it, I guess they made it where he's supposed to get him, like, every holiday, major holiday, he's supposed to have him 2 weeks, whether school was in or school was out. He would have to provide transportation for my son to go to school. Now, you tell me if he has followed any of that. And then, you know what I'm saying, he was with a chick when I had got pregnant, because when we was messing around, and let me just go back, I like to share it, I don't want to take too long on this story, but we was messing around, I didn't know he had a girlfriend, you know what I'm saying, poking holes in rubbers, he got me pregnant, and that's what happened. So when I had my child, my son, one of my family members had gave him the, you know, the heads up, oh, she done had the baby. So, you know, one day, I think he had called me, and probably about maybe 2 or 3 days later, he popped up at my place with his Tales from the Crypt looking mama. Yes, I said it. And his bitch was down there in the car. So I'm like, wow, you didn't even get my okay to bring these people back. You see what I'm saying? To see your son. And his mother was like, I didn't even know. He knew because he had told me that I was pregnant. But I ain't pay him no attention. You see what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, you done hid this from your mother. Then you got this girl down here. And ladies, let me just say this real quick. Can I say it, Mom Dukes?
Yes, ma'am.
Females, if you stand by a nigga that have a baby on you with another chick, you stupid.
Yeah.
I said, at the end of the day, it is never going to work out for the best. I had to build myself up because I think I'm about 26 years old at that time. I had to build myself up to not act like a child and form some kind of relationship with her. Because let me tell you something. My daughter's father, he had a girlfriend, but he never brought her around. If we do my daughter a birthday party, she didn't show up. If my daughter Christmas, whatever, he never came to my house, excuse me, to pick my daughter up or to drop her off with that chick in that car. Now, that's respect. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I never had no type of dealings with her, period. But with this dude, my son's sperm donor, it's like I was made to jump into a situation that I wasn't ready for. So, like I said, I had to try to be the grown person about this stuff. Because me and her got into it a couple times, and you know how it normally go. B.I. beat your own. You ain't got nothing to do with, you know, this his child, yada, 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 all that old crazy stuff. So she was basically taking care of my child. And then she made a statement to me because she kept getting locked up. I wasn't playing no games. Every time he missed a child support payment, I'd be down at the damn courthouse. Excuse me, sister, can I sign a warrant?
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but that's how it went. And I wasn't even going to be the type of female that was going to take child support out on him at first because I didn't want him to have anything to do with my son. But I thought about it and I said, well, my son deserves to have a father in his life, so we're going to go ahead and put this nigga on them papers. And that's exactly what I did. So to make a long story short, for 7 to 8 years, I went back and forth drama between me and him. Drama with her. She ended up getting married to him. I told her before she married him, I said, you making a bad-ass mistake. I said, you're going to regret that. They wasn't even married a year. You see what I'm saying? Then some stuff happened where him and her fell out. She was so attached to my son because, now, mind you, she helped take care of him. It's like she took part. She was partaking in raising him as well whenever I did take him over there to spend the weekend with his daddy or whatever. So she grew very fond of Bot-Bot, because that's what his name is, and she always have been crazy about it. But somehow her and this dude, which is his sperm donor, my son's sperm donor, I guess they wanted to try to reconcile once again. Now, this is after the divorce. You stupid. I was letting her come and get my son. She met a dude off the internet. She was so stupid, she would tell my son's sperm donor her business. So while my son is over there with her, they calling me at 12 o'clock at night, arguing on the phone, and she talking about, I'm finna bring your son home because his dad on his way over here, and I don't want him to cut a fool. Trick, is you stupid? Because at the end of the day, all you had to do was keep your mouth shut. But but you had to tell stuff about you done met some dude, he done came from Colorado to Alabama, and y'all staying together now. That's some stuff that you should have kept to yourself. Why still try to have a relationship with somebody when whatever y'all had is over? I was trying to be the bigger person and still allow her to have a relationship with my son. But she killed him for herself. Mm-hmm. And the sperm donor, I don't let my child see him because he's going to regret this one day. All this that you're doing, you're going to regret it.
Mm-hmm. It's going to come back. That's just like my my son's father donated sperm. But, you know, he never, ever did a thing for my son. And do you know, he was one of the first black firemen in D.C., and at that particular time, I was getting public assistance, which is welfare. Mm-hmm. And I was going through some emotional changes at one time, and I called him. I asked him, I said, can you keep the baby until I get myself together? You know what he had the audacity to say? Well, you know you're going to have to send me money to take care of him.
Mm.
You know, why do I have to send you money when you making what I get in a month? You make that and some more in a week. But I got to send you money to take care of your child. You know, I wasn't asking to take care of somebody else's child. This is your child. You know, and he never, ever, ever in his life gave me money hand to hand for his son. And then when my son was like, I think he was like in his 20s or something like that, when he decided to get married to this young lady. He asked my son to be his best man. Do you know, it took everything, and I prayed on it and everything to keep from telling my son, don't do it, but I didn't tell him that. I did not tell him that, but it was just, how did he have the audacity? You know, like, where did he come from? Why are you going to ask your child to do something for you and you haven't done a thing for them? But he did it. My son went, you know, and he, as my son got a little older from being a toddler, he would promise to come and get him, promising my child this and didn't show up. And, you know, just doing things that was just so contrary to being a father.
Right.
Then he had the audacity to have another baby by another young lady. And my son said that she had a baby, his sister, well, I guess his sister had a baby, and he don't even know nothing about it. That's how much less contact he keep in touch with her.
It's crazy.
You know. And then when we went to court one time, he was summoned to court. I get to the court, and he never showed up. They said he had called in because he was sick.
Yeah.
So the next time they summoned him to court, that's when they was going to lock him up, but he never showed up. So he was in the rears. This was years ago. He was in the rears of $30,000, something like that. And I know now if they wanted to collect him, I know it's well over $100,000 that he owes, which I'm going to proceed to go about trying to collect that because I understand that you can collect it. If I can, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to be doing. That's one of my jobs that I'm going to be taking on. But he didn't show up, you know, being defiant to the court. So they never pursued it anymore, not to my knowledge they didn't, but you know, he's been all these years. My son is 40. How old is Dion? 40. Yeah, he's 40 years old. And, you know, his father never did anything for him, nothing. His mother, my son's father's mother, at Christmas time, she sent gifts for him and, you know, stuff like that. But his father, mm-mm. No, he didn't spend a dime on him. And that angered me. You know, because before my son was born, the agreement was we was going to, you know, we was creating a family. We was going to get married, this and that was going to happen. When I told him I was pregnant, you know what he said? Well, it looked like I won't be going away to, because he was going to try to be a pro basketball player or something. It looked like I'd be going to college to pursue my dreams. You might as well have went. You ain't did nothing back here. You know, but that's the story of my son's sperm donor, because that's all it was, just donated sperm. You know, and I should have had my eyes open a little wider than what I did, but I didn't. So, you know, I'm not faulting, all the fault is not his, but definitely he takes a big chunk of it. And then my daughter's father, God rest his soul, he's deceased. But when we had hooked up, I was like 4 months pregnant before I caught back up with him. Then after I found out I was pregnant, also found out that he was married. When I finally caught up with him, he tells me, well, how do I know it's my baby? You 4 months pregnant. I say, well, number one, I had been trying to get in touch with you when I found out I was pregnant, because I thought he was living across the street at his mother's house. That's where we had met. And, you know, and I was calling down. Instead of his mother telling me the truth of the matter, well, he doesn't live here, she just saying, he's not here, he's not here, he's not here, he's not here. You know, so for 12 years, he had denied her, but he knew in his heart that he was his daughter, because she had green eyes when she was born. I don't have green eyes. She had curly hair. I don't have curly hair. And she looks just like him. But it took 12 years of him denying it. He was an alcoholic, too. It took 12 years of him denying it. So we got a paternity test. And we was in the courtroom. Did you know the judge looked at my daughter and looked at him? And he said, that's your daughter. You got to support her. This was before he even read the results. This is just how much she looked like him. And when them results came out, 99.9999%. That next day, he called me at work and asked me if she could come and spend the weekend with him and his new wife. Now, he had gotten married again, you know. So I said, well, I would have to ask her, because I couldn't just, you know, thrust her on him, you know, and you know, she's 12 years old and, you know. So I asked her, I said, well, you want to go and spend a weekend with your father? She said, yeah. You know, so they developed a beautiful relationship. And, you know, things was looking really good, because he was sending me child support. And when he got his tax return, they sent that to me. And, you know, everything was going good then. He just, he had an aneurysm and died, you know, so... it was just like, and in the meantime, let me back this up a little bit. He had asked me to marry him after this was after when I think Gail must have been about, it was before she was 12 years old. He had asked me to marry him just before he had married his second wife. But I didn't want to marry him simply because I knew that he was an alcoholic. But eventually he did stop drinking. But, you know, at that particular time, I wasn't going to marry him. Then he might wake up one morning and say, who are you? You know, so I said, no, you know, no, we ain't getting married. But, you know, he did eventually get married again, straightened up, you know, getting ready to retire from his job that he had at the United States Printing Office, you know, getting a nice pension, this, that. You know, but he died because of all that alcohol abuse that he did to his body, eventually caught up with him, you know. But if, you know, I can say that he did do for his daughter, even though he denied her for those 12 years, but I understand him being an alcoholic and being in denial and then going through a divorce with his first wife and, you know, all those things. So I took those into consideration, but it still does not excuse the fact that he was not there the first 12 years of his daughter's life. You know, and you got men out here that deny the babies, and then when they find out they're theirs, I'm just wondering how do they, you know, because you see them on Maury's show, no, that's not my baby, that ain't my baby, and it is his baby, and then he go back hugging, kissing on the baby and all this and that. Wonder what happens when they, you know, get home. Is he still in contact with that baby? Is he still being a father to that child? You know, because I don't know. I'm just, you know, wondering about that.
Probably die on some occasions.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, I was blessed with a
the guy that coached my oldest son started coaching my oldest son when he was 13, and he ended up becoming a friend of family, and later he became that brother by a different mother. And he was there for my children. He gave them that attention and that emotional, you know, support, and he always availed himself to them. And it's interesting now, because even as adults, you know, to see them communicating and this, that, and the other, like one is away at the University of Illinois Champaign-Urbana, and the other two live in different states. And so whenever they come in, there's always one going to take all of us out to dinner, and you get a chance to actually see the interaction in them, and I really appreciate that. But there's no but to it. One of the things, if I could crack open some of these guys' heads and get them to understand that they do such a just disjustice to these children, not even trying. Now, it ain't all about money. When it came to my child, the father of my children, when his ass was being trifling and determined he wasn't, just give him some time. Go outside and play ball with your son. Go and do this. Go and do that. I got to the point where I would buy tickets for things and give them to him, you know, with spending money and car fare and everything else, just so he could spend that time with them. And he was going out there selling the damn tickets. So then I stopped giving the tickets to him, and I would give them directly to the children. He wouldn't show up. And so eventually I stopped that, so they don't have a relationship with him. None of them have any type of relationship with him, even though my oldest, before he was incarcerated, he made a statement to me starting at the age of 9 years old, and he got incarcerated when he was 15. He said, "I choose my father." This is the statement he used to make to me. And it's like, so for 3 years we fought. He was 12, 13. We fought until he was about 13. And then he went with my mom for a while. And that was too much from, you know, too much attention being taken off of my father. And, I mean, it just went downhill from there. But if I could tell them anything, the disjustice they do to these children is monumental, because my 27-year-old, who is the one who has my two granddaughters, he fights so hard not to be like his father that he's physically abusive and don't even realize it. Not physically, verbally abusive and don't even realize it. And I sit back and I look at him and I'm like, "You fighting so hard, I'm going to be in my kids' life and I'm going to do this." Blah, 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 blah. I just sit back and I look at him, and then when I actually said it to him, he said, "I ain't never put my hands on." I told him, "That's more than one kind of abuse, brother." I said, "You're attacking her, but you chose her. She couldn't have been that bad. It wasn't a one-time thing, and this baby was produced, you know, and things like that." But and then I look at my daughter, and my daughter has severe trust issues when it comes to males, period. She's just starting a date, and she will be 25 years old in August. Wow. She just didn't, you know, it's like, so it does disjustice to these children out here. And then you have those out here who try so hard. You know, you have those out here that will move mountains, and not only for their quote-unquote birth kids, but if they get into a relationship with women who have children, those become their children.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I don't feel as though you're supposed to do whatever for somebody who's doing what they're supposed to do, but you can't help but compliment them. You can't help but look up to them, because those other ones show not out here even, they don't even try.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't even give put forth any effort whatsoever, and I do not understand that for the life of me. But now, mind you, that same 27-year-old was a high school phenom when it came to sports, basketball and football.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's all his father talked about. Oh, yeah, I mean, you got this chest stuck out. Do you really know how to spell his name?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I don't understand it. I really don't. And it seemed like, I can only talk about our community because that's what I am, and that's what I tend to know more about. It's getting worse and worse. It's like, really? Like I said, so many of them just don't even try. They put forth absolutely no effort whatsoever.
And that's sad because if a child sees, especially a male child, sees how their father treats them, sometimes that's how they turn out to treat their own children.
Exactly.
You know, so you have
exactly.
to set an example of bringing your child up and bringing them up the right way. You have to support them. You have to love them. You have to teach them. You have to nurture them. And you have to make them upstanding citizens. And if you're
yep.
doing the opposite, like you're doing drugs, you're doing this, you're doing that, and your child looks at you and they're going to feel that that's the right thing to do. So that's what they're going to do. You know, and kids want more visual instead of, like, you telling them. You know, if you're showing them, they're more apt to react to these different things that they see opposed to you telling them, you know, because just like you and I had talked earlier about women bringing up boys by themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not that it's an impossible thing to do, but there are some things that a man is needed in a male child's life as well as females are needed in a female's life, you know,
mm-hmm.
even though sometimes, because I know coming up in the projects, this was a married couple, and when the wife got sick, the husband, he could comb the girl's hair, send them to school, feed them, do everything that the mother did, you know, that applied to the girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you have some men that can't do those things. But it's not
yeah.
to say that a man can't learn how to comb a female's hair and, you know, grease it, wash it, plait it, you know, because there are some men that can do that.
My dad was one of them. And that's because the men take pride in what they do. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I know some people might be listening and say, well, I haven't heard them say too much positive stuff about me. There are some positive male role models out here for kids and some positive fathers that have raised their kids and done what they're supposed to do. But just like Real was saying, like with you going by based off of what you know as far as like our community.
Mm-hmm.
And with our community, we have a huge problem. And not saying that it's not like that in other races or whatever, but just in
yeah.
our race, we have a huge problem with fathers, black males, being like they need to be, not having a lack of not knowing how to be a father, not being
yeah.
in their kids' life. Because just like Mom Deuce was saying, how her daddy, Gail's daddy,
mm-hmm.
was not, you know, lying, talking about he gonna come get her. That's the same thing my son sperm donor would do, and he'll do that now if I allowed it to keep on going on. I'm not finna to allow you to upset him because
right.
when he done lied and done said, oh, I'm gonna come get him, and my baby be packed at the damn door with his book bag, honey, he ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He won't eat. He ain't finna sit down and watch nothing. He excited. I'm ready to go. Bitch, stop talking to me. You know, all of that type of stuff. But one thing, I guess he started to realize once he got older, see, you can pull stuff off like that when they little because they don't really pay attention to it. But when they get some size, they start to notice what's going on.
Yeah.
So I'm not finna be sitting up here. I would have to take him, go ride him around, go buy some shit, try to calm him down. And I know for a fact, that he
Bless.
Would still, thank you, that he would still be upset, but I guess he was like, okay, he see my mama's trying to calm me down because he would cop an attitude with me.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
to speak. So all I'm saying is, you know, it ain't the fact that we don't know if some people that's listening in hearing us talk about these men or whatever. It's not the fact that we trying to put men down because Mom Dude said that earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the experiences that we have went through. And I always try to explain to men in general, you can't always just give a child money and that be what it be.
Exactly. Right.
Excuse me.
Trying to buy their affection, and that's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And then you look at the fact, like, I don't want to just put him out there like that, but someone that I deal with, he doesn't have the best relationship with his own child, well, children, and I say maybe one of them that I know, because you never really been in that child's life. You can pay a child off. I've seen a case where a chick whose family was rich, her daddy and her mother, but just because they weren't showing her the love and the support and the loving stuff that she was supposed to be getting from them, she killed herself.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, like I had to tell this person that I'm close to, you might buy this boy all the top-notch name brand stuff. He might look fly as hell when he go to school.
Yep.
You might pay for all the sports that he called himself trying to get in. But the thing about it is, just like who that, I can't think of the lady name, but she said, just because you're present doesn't mean you're here. And that's basically
yeah.
what it is with men. Just because you are a father and you pay your child or you give money to your kids doesn't mean anything. I see white guys, I used to take my kids to the park, nice little park or whatever. They go out there, cook the damn food. Nigga chiller, you know how they do. But I see these white guys out there, and they just swinging their kids, their children, just towing them, letting them play on the damn monkey bars. It wasn't but a selective few, and when I say maybe one or two black dudes that would be out there at the park with their kids, that's a damn shame. A shame.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish somebody would start telling these fathers, it's okay, these black fathers, it's okay to hug your son, to kiss your son. That's not homo.
Oh, yeah.
That's not
homo.
A
lot of them portray, want them to, you got to be a man, man up, stop crying, put your chest out. Boys, they can cry as well as little girls. You know, when
not
you hold all those suppressed feelings in, that's, you know what
exactly.
happens to you? You turn
exactly.
out to be a Jeffrey Dahmer or Wayne Gacy and all those kind of people because they couldn't express themselves, you know. And you can't tell a child to stop crying just because they're a little boy. Boys have feelings too. They hurt. You know, let them cry.
You have to.
Yep.
Because that's what my friend be talking about. He needs to man up. He needs to stop acting like a little bitch. He's mad at you because you're not. And the child brought the stuff on itself, you know what I'm saying, with
mm-hmm.
some stuff dealing with prom. He wanted to, first he said that he wasn't going to prom. Then he was like, yeah, I'm going. Then he wanted to, you know what I'm saying, buy this girl who he didn't even have been knowing that long, wanted to get her a $300 dress. But the bottom line, with all the friction, regardless of what this whole issue was about with him acting like a little girl, there has not been a whole bunch of I spend time with my father type stuff. All you do is pay me off. When you come around, you buy me some stuff, get me what I want, and then you might pet me for a little minute like I'm a damn dog, and you on about your business.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, you know what I'm saying, like I tell these dads, what do you expect from that child?
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying to mine. When my son grow up and make something of himself, all my hard work and dedication gonna pay off. Don't you bring your ass around like you Shaq daddy, cause you ain't finna get nothing. You'll get a bullet in your head.
There are some good dads out there, some excellent dads, you know, that love their children and will actually die for their children or kill for their children. But I hope it don't go to that extreme. But, you know, there are some good dads out there. And, you know, like I had mentioned earlier in the show, this show is not about bashing dads or anything. It's just about, you know, talking about the dads that are the dads that they are. If you're a sperm donor, you're a sperm donor. If you're a good dad, you're a good dad. If you're not, you're not. But, you know, that's what the topic is about. And we have another caller on the line. Bring this caller in. 240, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Do you have a question or comment?
I'm more so probably have a comment. I'm not a father, but I always perceive, because we were talking about it in the chat room, like whatever you was raised up or however you experienced things when you were younger, you would think you would want better for whenever you have a child. So I said in my case, I don't have any kids right now because I know I'm in school, I'm doing my thing, and I'm not really committed with nobody. So since I'm not married, I don't really believe in having a child. But I always said that I would have, like, you know, finances for them. You know, I set up a trust fund for them. You know, because you usually want your kid to have more than what you had. And even in our label classes, we discuss stuff like this. So, like, for people that are having issues, like how she said about having a sperm donor, if they're just a sperm donor and they moved on, then so be it. But, I mean, if you want to take them for DCS, there's about 18 to 21 things that you can get a guy on for the fact of not paying child support. So they will make sure that he has to pay his child support, or some people, they try not to get a job. So, I mean, you can't have them in prison for, you know, not paying their child support.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they should be in prison, and then they should be made to work, go send them out on work release. That's one way they can do it, because one thing, the certain two things are for sure. As long as you're locked up, they don't let you out until you get your child support paid. That's how it should be.
Right.
You know, just lock you up and send you out on work release, and your check goes straight to that child. That's the way that they can get them. Because I remember at one point they had a sweep where they would lock deadbeat dads up and take their license from them so they couldn't drive and all this whole kind of stuff to get them to pay their child support. A lot of them was talking about, well, how am I going to get to work? The buses work, the trains work, and cabs work. You know, so don't, you know, use any type of excuse not to pay child support. And I think that's a shame anytime a man will use any type of excuse, and some men will even quit their jobs to keep from paying child support. That's
what
he did.
That's what he did.
That is just crazy.
But I think guys should get neutered. I think if they said guys were starting to get neutered instead, I think you wouldn't have to worry about child support as much.
Well, they don't even have to get neutered. Just put a rub on your thing. If one breaks, put another one on. Hell.
But see, you got the men out here and the women out here that don't want to use the protection. So, you know, what do you do with in a case like that? You tell them to pull out. They don't pull out. So, you know, if you do those things, you're looking to either suffer the consequences of either getting somebody pregnant.
And pull out is the same Russian roulette anyway, because,
well,
excuse me, you can get pregnant before it's getting started. So, come on. That
pre-time.
Pull out don't always, no.
But you know, you made a very interesting point, because a lot of times they always put it on the guy, but females don't put on the female condom, or you got the after pill and stuff like that. So I mean,
right? It's not all on the guy. It's not all on the guy, because they have condoms for women, they have the birth control, they have everything. You know, it is preventable. So you can't put it on the guy. You can't put it on the girl. Everybody is an adult in the situation, and everybody knows the consequence. So if you know that if you're having sex that you can get pregnant and there is something that you can do to prevent it, do that. But if you are out here having sex, no protection, expect the consequences. And then man up to it. Don't be, oh, that ain't my baby. I ain't taking care of it. Oh, yes, you are. By hook or crook, you're going to take care of that baby.
And then another thing, too, like all this Mari. What you doing, girl? Watching Mari. Look, fella.
Girl, I'm just saying.
And even though I want my own show where I can get on there and put on me some masks when I read that you are not that baby's Catherine, I want my show to be comedy. Because, see, mine ain't finna be like everybody else. I'm like, Shaquita, look here, girl. Ain't no damn body told you to keep sleeping with Ray Ray. Ain't nobody told you. You see what I'm talking? You hear what I'm talking? Security, escort this heifer off my damn stage. Security, hurry up. So she get this bottle of water upside her head. I'm trying to tell you, I don't smoke cigarettes no more, and I know that's what I'm going to have to keep on standing by is a bottle of water. But at the end of the day, these dudes, just like Mom do say, go on the show. That ain't my baby. She a hoe. She was messing with my homie, my cousin, my daddy, my uncle. The little toad down the street. Nigga, look. If you ran up in that thing wrong, it's a possibility. Because let me tell you something. We ain't finna go there with my son. No, ma'am. He gets rubbers when he's 10. Yeah, ma'am. Oh, he do all the effort he want. He can. But you just ain't finna bring no babies home because I can't be trying to babysit. Because Granny got to go to the club, to the casino. I'm trying to go across the country. I'm trying to visit Africa, look at some of these little African tours and stuff. I'm trying to see the big elephants and giraffes. I ain't got time to be sitting up here babysitting. Trying to help my babysit Mookie. Mookie. I didn't like changing my own damn kids' diapers. Honey, I was so glad when they turned by 1.5. Come on here. Come on. Get to the damn toilet. Come on here.
No, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, on a serious note, you know, people need to be a little bit more careful and a little bit more considerate, you know, because bringing a child in the world, baby didn't ask to come here. No child asked to come here. And I'm quite sure if some of these kids had the opportunity to ask to come here, I'm quite sure someone would refuse, you know, because coming into this world nowadays is no joke. It's not nothing that would ever make me bring a child in this particular century. No, because it's just, it's too crazy, and people are non-caring, and you can't trust anybody. So, you know, that's my take on it. We only have about 3 minutes left. So anybody, Bill, you have any closing remarks?
No. It was a good exchange.
Okay. Ms. Kane, do you have any closing remarks?
All I'm saying is, fellas, take care of your kids. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
At least try. I don't know what to do. Guess what? We didn't either. When I had man, I didn't know how to be a mother.
Right.
I had to learn to take care of that child. And guess what? What I didn't do with the first one, I did better with the second one. What I missed on the first and the second one, I did better on the third one. So I mean, come on. At least try.
Mm-hmm. Well, know your enemy. Do you have any closing remarks?
Make sure it's really your baby, because if you don't, the courts will get you for it, and you will become the custodial father.
That's true. And I see Y-Meo in the chat room. Sorry, I couldn't get in there. Y-Meo, thanks for dropping in, but the show is at its end, and I appreciate everybody who came out. Ms. Kane, Know Your Enemy, Y-Me, and flies on the wall, the ones who are listening through their iPhones and wherever else you're listening. I appreciate you coming out. And like I said, Sunday is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, all the fathers out there, all the single moms who are bringing up their kids. Happy Father's Day to you as well, even though they said, why are you saying happy Father's Day to women on Father's Day? The same reason why I said happy Mother's Day to the fathers on Mother's Day. So that's that. And I'm hoping everybody has a beautiful weekend. I don't know what I'm going to do this weekend. I really don't. But whatever I do, I'm going to be safe. I want you guys to be safe. I like talking to you, not about you, if you know what that means.
Yes, we do.
All righty then. So that means don't drink and drive, and don't drive while you're drinking.
I like talking about them. Come over to my show on Monday night, Celebrity Gossip and New Music.
Oh, we're going to send out our condolences to, what's the girl's name?
Yvette Wilson.
Yeah, she died today, yesterday or today. Yeah, she has cervical cancer. And you know what? I'm just wondering, because she was broke. Where was all the people that she were? Where was Chris Tucker, all the people she was working with? They couldn't chip in and contribute to her health? You know, that's a shame, but, you know, may she rest in peace.
They say every man for themselves, Mom, do say them.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Granny gonna be at the funeral. I'm going to the funeral.
That's what it is in Hollywood, every man for himself. So everybody have a good night, and Real, I'll be keeping in touch with you to let you know what next week's show is going to be about.
Okay.
Again, thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and have a happy Father's Day, all the fathers out there. And good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Know Your Enemy, Why Me, Ms. Kane, and Rhea.
Imagine this.
night, everybody.